Two guys who love talking about a game within a game in association with Fantasy Football Scout. I'm Peterson.
I'm Andrew.
And this is FPL SideNet. Here's Chilwell.
Martial coming in from that left and firing home. Unstoppable.
Pulisic. Giroud breaks through. Lacazette can have a pop and score a pitch.
Welcome back, managers, to the FPL SideNet podcast. We are recording this on Wednesday, April the 24th. And as always, I'm joined by my man, Andrew, who had a hold. God damn it.
Now we're going to do it a third time. Good Lord.
I'm not even saying the word review anymore.
Yeah. Who had a review of the Forest Twitter account?
Review. Welcome back, managers, to the FPL SideNet podcast. We are recording this on Wednesday, April the 24th. And as always, I'm joined by my man, Andrew, who had hold of the Forest Twitter account this weekend, spitting some venom on the socials, Andrew. Welcome back.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, I hacked into it. I managed to guess the password. I went for Forest with a capital F, 69, exclamation mark, and I got in. So thought I'd fire off a quick tweet at the end of that Everton game.
Oh, you're like Neo in the Matrix.
Pretty much. I'm Hugh Jackman in Swordfish, just spinning the boxes.
Oh, how about the 90s references? Oh, we are cooking already. But yeah, good to have you back. Missed you last week. You were, busy sunbaking, getting your Ben White tan on, sipping margaritas by hotel pools.
Yeah, a few pina coladas. Definitely a bit of a Ben Orange tan. So yeah, no, it was a good break. Pretty much the only FPL content I absorbed while I was away was your episode that you did with Ryan, which I thought was really, really good. So very, very deep discussion that you had, getting deep into the life of Ryan.
He's not the Messiah. He's just a very busy FPL boy.
Oh, man. We're absolutely cooking tonight.
No, it was fantastic. Thanks again to Ryan for joining last week and helping me out. But, game week, we're in the middle of it at the moment, so it's obviously one of those awkward ones to record. At the moment, you did use the bench boost. Now, he's saying no. I don't want to talk about it.
I really don't want to talk about it. It's actually quite embarrassing. Like, this is for something that I've been looking forward to for a long time. This could be like the disaster of all disasters when it comes to bench boosts. Like, honestly, it's just been horrific. But I guess I will talk about it because that's what we're here to do. So
this is a safe place. This is the trust tree.
Yeah, it's funny because I've had like a mix of good and bad luck this game week. But in terms of the bench boost, it's been absolutely horrific. Like, I've got Henderson as my goalkeeper on the bench boost. You know, I've also got Tyrick Mitchell. So basically, I don't care who that own goal was assigned
to.
It's still bad. I mean, maybe Henderson was a little better for me because there was more people that owned him than when it was assigned to Mitchell. But either way, it was all bad. And then the other person I've got on my bench boost is Palmer, who didn't play a single minute. So I do have Branthwaite with his 5 points. So at the moment, after four of my players have played, if you include Palmer, I'm on 4 points so far, minus one from Henderson, zero from Mitchell, five from Branthwaite, and then zero from Palmer. So I really need something good to happen for Henderson and Mitchell and Branthwaite in their second games. Otherwise, it's going to be like an all-time horrible bench boost. But I guess I should say that on the other side of it, I have had some good luck with the players in the starting 11. The double Everton clean sheet was pretty good. And
that was
how
huge.
How can I ever forget, as long as I shall live, the Ben White brace?
You had to be there.
Yeah, I especially enjoyed the second one that just skewed off the shin and went into the side net. So absolute scenes. But yeah, fantastic, fantastic result there. I think I was due some luck after getting literally zero from my triple Crystal Palace defense, including Munoz, who definitely should have scored.
Oh yeah, and had an in assist. That game.
Yeah, I mean he's been points dodging for a few weeks now, so I feel like there's a chance that the luck turns in the Newcastle game, but we will see.
But yeah, I mean, still plenty of football to go. So yeah, that could change. You are still on a green arrow, which is good.
Yeah.
Probably what you're.
I am on a green arrow basically because of Ben White. I was on a red arrow until that whole the Ben White brace happened. So
yeah,
that's been enough to kind of rescue the week a little bit. So I was very down in the dumps before the Arsenal game. That's for sure.
But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, we still haven't seen City play. There are the rumors that Haaland and Foden potentially might not be playing. So that's going to be really annoying, especially when Haaland's EO sort of around that 100,000 mark is about 64%.
Yeah. I mean, obviously for both of us, that's going to be a problem. But if Haaland doesn't play, you own him too, don't you? But yes. Especially for me, like having played the bench boost, if two of my players in Haaland and Palmer don't play a single minute, then that's, again, just yet another nail in the bench boost coffin. But anyway, I guess the only thing that really matters is the overall performance for the week. So as long as I stay on a green arrow, I'll be happy.
It might be a case of achievement unlocked.
It could be red arrow on a bench boost. I had a 6-point bench boost a few years back. I don't know if you remember, there was a week when Leeds were supposed to have a double game week, and I loaded my bench with Leeds players, and then the second game in the double game week got cancelled. And I just left the bench boost on because the first game was like a really good fixture, but then they ended up all blanking. So I got a 6-point bench boost once, and I'm at risk of getting even worse this year. But that really will be an achievement unlocked if I manage to do worse than that.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, anyway. I shouldn't enjoy it because we are opponents in one of the, in TN's cup competition at the moment. I thought I had no chance whatsoever with you on the bench boost and me taking a hit this week, but here we are both sitting on 72 points.
Here we are. You might get me.
The most unlikeliest of cup wins is on the table.
It'd be more unlikely than the Coventry cup comeback against Man United. But anyway,
so
hopefully...
When you beat me because of Brathwaite getting one appearance point, you're just going to cut the ears at me and look at me like Anthony did to the commentary team.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be celebrating like I've won the Champions League.
A win's a win, a win.
It is. I do love this time of year when you got the random cup competitions from like every league that you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been funny, like looking at who I'm up against, and I had a chuckle when I saw I was up against you in one of them. Like,
are you still in the side net one?
Yes, I am at the moment.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Well, hopefully we come up against each other in that later on. That'd be huge.
That'd be good. There's a lot of familiar faces in that comp still, but 72 points, like you said, green arrow. Hopefully that continues. You just need a bit of magic from Mo. So. He's let us down recently, but we both got him captain, so
yep. Let's see what happens. He should start the Merseyside derby.
Yeah, it should.
And do you have anyone else in that? Just Mo captain.
Just Mo. Yeah, I decided to load up on Liverpool. Oh yeah, regarding my team. So yeah, 76. I did take a hit. So my three transfers this game week, I tell you what, I've nailed the transfer. So I got in Solanke for Muniz, which was good. I mean, Solanke got a goal. That's great. Yep. Eze for Sun, which was a nice juicy 11 points. And Ben White for Gusto.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Those are going to be the best transfers of the year for you. That's incredible.
So, including the hit, I'm 34 points up. So, on those three transfers.
And that's with Eze and Solanke to go.
Yeah.
A couple of pretty good attacking fixtures for both of them, really.
Yeah, that's right. So that could be even better.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm as sure far as be. Transfers goes, they've all delivered. I was chatting to you about which three options to do, and Yeah, I'm pretty happy I went with that one in the end. But yeah, green arrow for me so far. Yeah, I mean, most of my team still has to play, but like you, the Ben White points this morning were they were bittersweet for me watching my Chelsea get absolutely thrashed, and
Yeah.
then seeing Ben White on the end of it
I
sort of
guess,
soothed the pain just ever so
yeah.
slightly.
I guess you would say that if you were going to have someone score a brace against you, you're glad that it was someone that was in your team.
I suppose so.
What were what, like he scored the fifth one, right?
Yeah, he
Is that
scored.
right?
What was it? The second
He scored the
one.
second one and the fifth one. Like surely when the fifth one went in, like the overwhelming emotion was happiness. Like
I
what's
was
the
dead
difference between
inside.
4-0 and yeah, like 4-0, 5-0, what's the difference? Like surely you're happy to get that one.
Yeah, I wasn't really happy. I was so flat. I was just, what is happening to my football club? Depressed being toaster
That's
in
all
the
right.
bathtub. But
Oh
no.
God.
So yeah, it is. So far so good. Yeah, I did keep hold of Ollie Watkins, who, two attacking returns this game week two. So yeah, see what happens. I might be going Charlie Taylor deep on my bench again if Foden and Haaland don't show up. So
It seems like you will be. Seems like
yeah,
you will
I've been going Charlie Taylor deep quite regularly at the
be.
moment. So it's
And how's
not,
that gone for you?
yeah, not the
Yeah.
best.
Oh, well. At least he's got a 2-pointer this week, which is better than the usual one.
One, yeah, I will take that. But yeah, fun game week. But yeah, I did mention it has been a bit of a bonanza. Double game week 34. It's been one of those weird game weeks where, like, most of the games, most of the assets we're looking at, they've basically all delivered, which is so weird. And especially when it's been a fairly big free hit week as well. It's sort of you'd actually have to go out of your way to have a really bad free hit this game week because.
Yeah.
Depending on the combinations you're going with, like Liverpool, Arsenal, Crystal Palace,
Yep.
most of them all delivered.
Yeah, definitely. Like obviously you had all the attacking assets from Palace, as you mentioned, or like the Arsenal double clean sheet. Ben White would have been quite a few free hits.
Yeah.
And even like Trent Alexander-Arnold, who was someone that
Yeah.
is pretty much only going to be in your team if you're on a free hit for this game week, I'd say. So that's been quite successful. And even Jota as well. A couple of people took a punt on him. He's obviously not going to play the second one, but he's done some damage already. So yeah, it's been good. It's been a big free hit week, that's for sure.
Yeah, really, really big free hit week. Like, I mean, if I was on free hit, I probably would have gone. Like, if I went triple Arsenal, I probably would have gone. Yeah, like Gabriel, Saka, Havertz, I reckon.
Yeah. That's the other one. Of quite a few people on free hit did go Havertz as well, so that's been pretty big for them too.
Yeah.
I think that that's pretty smart. Gabriel, Havertz, and Saka. There might be some people that have gone White, Havertz, and Saka, but yeah, it's yeah. I mean, has there really been any big kind of free hit picks that have flopped? I can't really think of any off the top of my head.
Oh, I mean, I
I
think
guess Darwin and
Darwin.
Darwin wasn't really one. Salah, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe those Liverpool assets, but then again, they've still got their second game to go, so it's a bit hard to actually rule judgment on that until they all play the second match.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We've
Who
seen how
knows what's
quickly
going to
things
happen in
change.
that.
I was
The
going to say, I think
Merseyside derby could have a red card in it too. So then, if there's like an
Darwin
Everton red
red.
card, then the Liverpool assets really could feast.
I was going to say, and also like this game week, like the all the interest in Palace and that really like over delivering already in the first game and comparing that to like game week 29 when. Like a lot of us that were on the free hit 29, like, tripled up on Brentford because they had the easy fixture. And it just shows how things can swing one way or the other. Like that free hit 29, Reguilón gets that early red card and that all goes to shit. Whereas Crystal Palace get an early goal and they just go on with it and demolish West Ham. It's like the
Absolutely.
outcome versus the thought process. Like,
Yeah, very similar, I guess, very similar opportunities, right? In
that's
29 and
right.
34, and one has gone one extreme and the other's gone the other full extreme. I actually thought that there was a really, really good chance of a Crystal Palace clean sheet in this game just because of, West Ham coming coming with a short turnaround from Europe and the, you know, the mental letdown of getting knocked out in against Freiburg, wasn't it? Leverkusen. Sorry, my bad. So yeah, I thought that it might be like a kind of a flat game for West Ham, but I was thinking from a point of view of them not scoring, especially with no Bowen. So what surprised me was, yeah, that they still did manage to score two goals. Obviously, no one expected five goals from Crystal Palace. I was in my head, I was expecting more like a 2-0 kind of game, which is sort of why I loaded up on their defense, which didn't work out. But yeah, four goals in the first 30 minutes. I don't think even in their wildest dreams, free hitters would have expected that.
No, very, very juicy. And like, even if you only moved, if you were just navigating the game like with normal transfers and you just went with like one or two Palace assets, like all the main ones we talked about in from the attacking perspective, like all delivered so well already.
Yep, exactly right. Exactly right.
Makes a big difference. But yeah, hopefully there's some more joy tomorrow morning with the rest of those fixtures. But just looking ahead to game week 35, we have another double. Spurs and Chelsea both doubling up, and you know they've both got, you know, two double game weeks over the next four game weeks, which is pretty crazy. But I wanted to just pick your brain about those two sides. Now, there's, you know, people on wild cards, there's people navigating it with free transfers or free hits. Do you think it's worthwhile tripling up on both these sides, considering what we've seen? Like, we've just seen Chelsea this morning get absolutely smashed. And we're seeing every week Spurs conceding goals for fun. Like, to me, like, none of the defense appeals whatsoever. And the both sides are really similar in that they both have the clear path, which is Palmer and Son. And then after that, it's like you're basically drawing up narratives to convince yourself to go with, you know, it might be Jackson or Brendan Johnson or you know, Madison. And it sort of drops off fairly quickly.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Like, I really don't think you need anyone more than Palmer and Son. I know that a lot of people will go harder than that, especially people on game week 35 wildcards, partly because they've got that second double game week as well. But if you're just talking about 35, like, I really think that those two are the only two that are quote unquote essential.
Yeah.
Let's look at Chelsea's fixtures. Aston Villa away. I think they're going to concede two goals.
They're going to concede no matter what.
Yeah, they're definitely going to concede, but I think they're going to concede two. So then you're looking at one pointers for their defenders, right? Petrovic, you know, maybe you get save points or whatever, but you're really looking at a baseline of one in terms of appearance points. And then Tottenham at home.
That's always a batshit crazy game.
They'll concede in that, and that also could be a game where they concede two. Like, so. Yeah, in terms of defense, you know, I don't mind Gusto because he hooks up well with Palmer and he's always likely to get an assist. Saying he's likely to get an assist is maybe too much of an exaggeration, but he's one of the key players that does create for Palmer and Jackson. So I don't hate Gusto, especially if you need to downgrade someone to make the money to get, you know, Son, for example. But apart from that, like, yeah, I'm not sure there's anyone there. And same with Spurs. Like, Spurs, Arsenal at home, like, they're going to concede. Chelsea away, they're going to concede. There's no clean sheets anywhere. So you're really picking players for attacking returns.
Which is a little hard-pressed because we saw the photo of Udogi in a hospital bed confirming his season's over, which came out of absolute nowhere.
Out of nowhere,
And we're still unsure about Pedro Porro's fitness heading into next game week. So it leaves more questions than answers.
It does. And like, so who do we choose when we're looking for attacking returns from these teams? I mean Spurs have got a game against Arsenal, so you almost expect that to be a clean sheet for Arsenal, right? There's probably a good 50-50 chance that there's no goals for Spurs in that game. There's probably goals in the Chelsea game, but who, apart from Son, is going to get them. Richarlison, maybe, if he's fit.
If he's fit.
But again, we're not sure about that. So then it kind of leaves you with Brennan Johnson and who else?
Yeah, and if he's fit, he's not playing 180 minutes anyway.
Nah, I think that it might be like 65 in each game.
Yeah.
Is as like a best case, right?
Yeah, best case.
For Richarlison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Maddison hasn't done anything for weeks, so he's...
No. And Werner's at risk minutes-wise from Richarlison, so he's kind of out. Yeah, everyone else, yeah.
It feels like the sacrifice to like get some of these players in over what you'd be losing probably isn't worthwhile just to get the extra fixture.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I feel like a lot of people are focusing on who is the best, who are the best assets from these teams without focusing on part B, which is, and are they better than the assets you're removing to get them?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, like, there's that many midfield assets and attacking assets that are, you know, good picks moving forward. Like,
yeah.
You have to lose one of them to bring in these really speculative players from these two teams that don't have great double game week fixtures.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we're looking at Chelsea, like, Nicholas Jackson is probably the second most obvious attacking player behind Palmer to get, but we've seen how he's, we've seen what he's done the last couple of weeks. Like, and that's indicative of most of his season. Just completely down on confidence at the moment. Doesn't look like scoring. He's got no, even when he gets really good chances, there doesn't seem to be any kind of confidence that he's going to put them away. So it's really difficult. I think if you're on wild card in game week 35, it's almost impossible not to go pretty heavy on these teams. But then, are you going to expect it to be a successful punt, or is it just going to be a disappointment? Who knows?
Yeah.
What are you thinking? You are going to be on wild card, so you're probably going to have to make some of these decisions, right?
Yeah, yeah. As far as attacking options go, it's just Sun and Palmer at the moment. Yeah, I don't trust Jackson at all. I mean, he was actually lucky not to get red carded this morning. How he escaped yellow. Like,
I actually thought that it's one of those kind of orange card situations, but I thought that a yellow was reasonable. What was completely unreasonable was that he didn't even get a yellow, and it would have been a two-match suspension if he got that yellow, which he deserved. So incredibly, incredibly lucky. So it'd be peak FPL if that causes people to get him on wildcard and then all of a sudden he actually does bang.
Well, should we chat about my wildcard actually? It seems like a good segue.
I think we should.
I was joking with you before. I actually haven't pressed the wildcard button. I've just been making...
Just been racking up hits.
I think
hits.
I'm on like a minus 20 at the moment.
Because you didn't want... Because you've got this theory that wildcard transfers don't influence prices and you wanted to influence prices.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to disrupt the market.
That's right. Okay. Well, good luck with that. So what have we done so far?
I also joked with you that I sort of put together a wildcard draft, and it was before I'd sort of digested any info, read anything, listened to anything, and then I was pretty shocked to see that what I was coming up with was pretty close to like the new so-called template. Wildcarders. So which I suppose is a good thing because it means that my thinking is fairly close to what others are doing. It's not too far-fetched.
I suppose it's not hugely surprising considering like you're focusing so heavily on two particular game weeks, right? 35 and 37.
That's right. So, you know, also married up with the bench boost, but it's not, I'm going without Mo at the moment, which is like a little bit scary, but also at the same time, it's sort of seems like a good thing to do. Now that could very well change tomorrow morning if Mo Salah goes vintage Mo tomorrow morning. I'll be backing that truck right back up.
Yeah, exactly. And it's almost like a similar situation with Saka, isn't it? Like, you know, like a lot of people are going to go without Saka in their wild cards in 35. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but if Saka had been the one that scored two goals today instead of Havertz, then people would be Definitely kind of rethinking that. But the fact that he just got one assist in a 5-0, people are probably going to be, that's going to reinforce their thinking. But he's equally likely to bang in the coming game weeks, whether or not he scored today or not. So yeah, it's interesting. Like, we know what Saka can do, and it's the same with Salah. Like, we know what Salah can do. So regardless of what happens tomorrow morning, doesn't make him necessarily more or less likely to absolutely bang from game week 35 to 38, but it will make you feel better about not having him on wild card if he blanks tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I'll read out my wild card at the moment. Now, I must stress, this actually is a bit different to what I've got somewhere else. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find the right screenshot, and I'm really tired. Basically, goalkeepers, I'm going with Petrovic and Onana, and then defense of at the moment it's Gusto, Van de Ven from Spurs, and Shah and Gvardiol and Gabriel, and then midfield five of Son, Foden, Bruno Fernandes, Gordon and Palmer, and then a front line of Isak, Haaland, and Ollie Watkins still. So, but I
You've
mean, I
always been a
still,
Watkins truther.
yeah, and he's done so well the last few weeks. I keep, like, I was thinking about comparing him to Jackson. You know, Jackson has two more extra fixtures, but I expect Ollie Watkins to score against Chelsea this week. Then game week 36, I expect him to score against Brighton. 37, they've got a home match against Liverpool, which is tough, but Liverpool do concede, and Villa are up to their necks in fourth. And then game week 38, they're away to Crystal Palace, so which could just be an all-out attack game with both of these teams just going for it. So
Yeah, I love the Watkins pick. Like, he's the best striker in the game at the moment.
yeah.
He's the best striker in the league. He's definitely outshone Haaland this season consistently. So, yeah, I love the Watkins pick. Do you think the Watkins pick is one that's a bit different to what a lot of other people are doing?
I think a lot of wildcarders at the moment probably aren't going with Watkins. They're going with someone else, or that like they're possibly going with Jackson because they want to capitalize on those doubles over the next couple of game weeks. But yeah, he just ticks over everywhere. I mean, I've got a ton of value on him because I've basically had him all season. So just.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's actually mental that people are choosing someone like Nick Jackson over Watkins, but I can understand it to a certain extent, target the double game weeks, attack the fixtures, but when you're taking out the best player in FPL, you've got to really be confident that that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this season, 19 goals, 17 assists. Like, it's actually, it's like,
217 FPL points
yeah,
with
it's crazy.
game. Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah, he's definitely he's definitely, like, earlier in the season people were saying, oh, he ticks over but he's not explosive. Well, here we are, 217 points. Like, the exact same thing that happened with Kane last year. People
Yeah,
didn't
that's
get him
right.
because he wasn't explosive enough, and by the end of it he almost matched Haaland in FPL points.
He's just been different gravy this season. So yeah, I'm quite keen to keep hold of him because, it could be like a little bit of a differential. I mean, he has been a bit of a differential for me the last number of game weeks, which has been quite interesting. But yeah, I mean, just touching on this side, so the main things are not going with Mo. I mean, it's a bit of a risk, but once we get to game week 38, I've also been looking at the end game, like game week 38. Like, I want to have two free transfers by the time I get to 38, so I could potentially get Mo back in. Or I was thinking, Diogo Jota is perfect for game week 38. He's back in form, and now we found out, I know he's going to be missing for 2 weeks. So that one casts a bit more doubt. I was almost willing to take that on to get Jota in by the time we get to that stage of the season. But yeah, it's a little bit different there. But I think triple Newcastle makes a lot of sense considering the fixtures over the next few
Absolutely.
game weeks and the doubles. I mean, kicking things off with a home match against Sheffield United. We've seen Gordon this season at St. James Park just ooze points every time he steps on the pitch for a home game. So
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and Isak as well. So hopefully I haven't jinxed them.
Yeah, no, I think that Isak is the number one no-brainer on wild card, and I might even end up taking a hit to get Isak in game week
Yeah.
35 myself. And then yeah, Gordon, it's hard to argue with Gordon. Is there any player in midfield? I mean, we've already talked about Mo. Is there any other player in midfield that you're sacrificing because you want Gordon? Because I have heard other people discussing whether to go for Gordon or not. And I'm not sure who's the other midfielders that you're sacrificing to bring him in or to have him.
Well, as far as the ones that I've lost, it's probably Saka. So it's
Yep.
no Salah, no
No
Saka.
Salah and no Saka.
But what I'm keen to do is I'm actually keen to get double or to keep Arsenal double defense for the rest of the season, because like we just talked about, like I have no faith in Spurs, I have no faith in Chelsea keeping clean sheets, and with the Arsenal fixtures, like their next, four game weeks, there's no doubles, but 36, they've got Bournemouth at home, and 38, they finish with Everton at home.
Yeah.
That's two very potential clean sheets. And then who knows? They could maybe pick up another one against Spurs or maybe Man United.
Yeah.
Don't know. The risk is heading into game week 37. If I'm keeping Watkins and I'm keeping Gabriel, I've also got another Arsenal defender, I'm bench boosting with three single game weekers, which, it's not the end of the world, but sort
It's
of
not.
it's a little bit defeats the purpose, but maybe it sort of offsets over the next 4 weeks if I've got those points coming in instead of getting like 1 point from a Van de Ven or like 2 points from a Gusto.
Yeah, I mean, and there's nothing stopping you from using a transfer in 37 to at that point take out one of your Arsenal defenders for someone that doubles. So
True.
then you've got double defense for all but 37, 38, rather than having double defense the entire time. So,
Yeah.
don't forget that you do have transfers. I wouldn't necessarily book in too many transfers on
Yeah.
wildcard, but you do have transfers to use between now and then, and one of them could be used to take out one of the Arsenal defenders for game week 37. And if you've got other fires to fight and you can't do it, as you say, it's not the end of the world because they are the best defense in the league.
Yeah. I'm just trying to work out what to do with Spurs. It's just tricky, but
I
yeah,
know,
that
like, because Van de Ven, he's a difficult one, isn't he? Because
yeah.
as we discussed, like, how many points are you really expecting him to score over the double? But if you didn't have him, like, you probably need, like, that wouldn't be enough. You couldn't just go Van de Ven to another Arsenal defender, could you? You probably need a bit more money. So then you've got
Yeah.
to make another change to this draft in order to make that happen.
Yeah, it's really, really tricky.
Yeah, it is. It is. You've got Guardiola in here as well. How much is he?
Yes.
Can is there any other? Is there any other Man City defenders that are a bit cheaper? Is he or is he really the cheapest?
Well, as far as cheapest, I'm not 100% sure. I was thinking of like, I really like Nathan Ake.
Yeah.
He's one of those cheeky defenders that always seems to pop up with a goal. It's just he's probably one of those ones I'd be sweating on.
Yeah.
Like I'd be getting to the game week and like, oh, is he even gonna start one of
It's
these
like,
two games?
he's one of those players where you're like, I'm 75% sure he's going to start this week, but then probability wise, that means that every four games he's going to be benched. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do, but I agree with you. He's always in that goal mouth scramble at a corner, and he's just
Yeah.
likely to get a goal like with his knee or his, like it just bounces off him and goes in. I've seen him score that many goals like that, but yeah. I do like Guardiola as well. I think Guardiola's really settling in to Man
Yeah.
City.
Yeah, I
So
think that.
I'd say he'd be safer than Ake in terms of starts, especially moving forward where they don't have Europe anymore.
Well, I've got some more tinkering to do, and we'll see what tomorrow morning's matches bring up. But yeah, what we'll do is we'll take a break, and on the other side, preview double game week 35, give our Goodwill punting pits, and oh, captain, my cap. right, welcome back to the FPL Sunday podcast and looking ahead to double game week 35. Early kickoff on Saturday night. Yes, we're back. 9:30 p.m. kickoff, which means 8 p.m. FPL deadline, which I must admit, I better get my wild card activated before then. I better press the button before then. And
please
don't forget to
press the button. Come on, man. Just press it.
You know what?
You're giving me anxiety.
I'll press it for you. Do you want me to press it right now?
Yeah, press it live.
I'm gonna.
It's great. It's great content. But can you actually press it? You have to press it when you make a transfer, don't you? Or can you just press it anytime?
It's just saying play wildcard. So
there you go. Done.
To activate your wildcard, you must be making enough proposed transfers. The points would be deducted. I'll do it later.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff.
I don't want to accidentally take out someone that I like might still want to keep hold of.
Yeah,
100%.
You don't want to lose value on someone just because you're not really thinking
just
it through.
Just take out Ollie Watkins for someone else and be like, oh, crap. No, now I've lost that.
Well, that maybe you should value. Be taking out. Maybe you should be taking out Haaland.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I should.
Maybe you should. We've just
we'll get to that. Tasty spoiler for everyone. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. West Ham Liverpool kicking things off. West Ham look officially on the beach. Season's done. Yeah. Moyes looks like he's got a few games left before he finishes up. Liverpool going for the title. Actually, that's the thing I didn't bring up before. We've got a title race. All three teams out of Europe. So we can actually expect strongest possible lineups for the rest of the season. Like, there's not going to be any rotations.
Yeah.
So we're expecting full strength.
I mean, if you're looking at Liverpool, if you're looking at all three of those teams, though, they are playing midweek and then weekend.
Yeah.
So there's still, I guess, if there's some players that they don't want to play twice in 3 or 4 days, there's still the chance of maybe this weekend not getting full strength first 11s, but to your point, from now on, I'd say we will.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that largely though, you're right. Like, it's going to be pretty much as possible first choice 11. So it's going to be, that might make it a little bit less stressful in waiting for leaks and waiting for, you know, sweating team sheets.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if, you know, unless they're injured and we're waiting to hear whether they're confirmed or not, I think we can just safely assume with those top teams that, if it should play. So, yeah. Not that leaks have even been, like, spot on anyway recently.
No, not recently. Not. So, do you think... We're talking about the Liverpool-West Ham game now. Do you think that Darwin is in the first choice 11 still?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out tomorrow morning. I'd expect him to start tomorrow morning. So...
Yeah, I'd expect him to start tomorrow morning because Gakpo's played the last two, right?
Yeah.
So... That him starting tomorrow morning might not confirm that he's first choice.
True.
I think that the West Ham game will be what confirms it.
Yeah.
One way or another. So that will be interesting.
That will be interesting. I mean, I'm expecting a Liverpool win here. I mean, historically, yep. Mo's always been good against West Ham. I recall quite a bit of success over the years captaining Mo, but then again, we're captaining Mo in most game weeks pre-Haaland. So, good options there. West Ham just feel like a sell, not even a hold. I would sell.
No. Yeah. If you've got any West Ham players, get rid of them immediately.
You're not thinking of going Bowen again?
No. He's done his work for me this year.
You'll always have that hat trick.
100%. He might be in my game week one team next season, but for now, he's done.
Okay. Then a whole bunch of midnight kickoffs. So we've got Fulham Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace seem to really be flavor of the month at the moment. So an interesting game on paper, not really relevant as far as European places go or relegation, but could just be a fun game.
Yeah, it'd be a good game to watch. And the Crystal Palace assets will be much, much lower owned because a lot of people who have them have got them on free hit.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting, Fulham are usually quite good at home. So I'm not expecting any clean sheets or anything from Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to score 5 goals in that one like they did against West Ham. But, yeah, it should be a fun game to watch, though.
Yeah, it should be. Man United Burnley. So Man United hot off the heels of, you know, clinching that semi-final win against Coventry. Whether it was deserved or not, we can debate that another time. But a really good fixture on paper for United here. But I think Burnley could, you know, not get, you know, come away with a point, but they could definitely score it. They've been playing much better.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they could nick something in this game. You know,
yeah.
They've got a lot more to play for than Man United, and they seem to be playing quite well recently. I wouldn't be shocked to see another Coventry-style game where it's like 3-3 or something.
Yeah.
Would you be shocked to see that?
Not really, but I mean, that
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I think more than likely Man United will win. I just think that there's a chance that we might see something pretty wild.
It might not be as straightforward as what it appeared to be on paper, maybe.
Yeah, I hope not.
We'll see. We will see. Newcastle-Sheffield United, a game that looks really tasty on paper.
100%.
We saw Isak's popularity just soar week after week recently, especially after that game against Spurs in the previous game week. So at St. James Park, they're just a beast at home. So the fixtures don't get much better than this one.
You'll be rolling out your brand spanking new triple Newcastle.
Triple Magpies.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, I can't see anything other than like a resounding Newcastle win. Like, this looks like it could be kind of 4-0.
Yeah, feels like a party game.
Situation.
Well, that
does a little bit.
These last few games at St. James Park, they just want to put on a show for everyone.
And they still are. They're still going for European places. Obviously, they're out of the Champions League, but they're still going for European places. So the games are important to Newcastle still.
Yeah, that's right. Wolves, Luton. On paper, really good fixture for Wolves. So, I mean, like yourself, you've got Sarabia in your side. There's, you know, still a fair few rain, eight Nauries around. So hopefully, you know, there's some good performances tomorrow morning, which paves the way a bit more. It's really hard to preview some of these games.
It is.
Because we're waiting to see what they do for another game. So,
yeah.
I mean,
but the Sarabia thing is real tricky for me because in my bus team, I've got him first on the bench and it feels so wrong to bench him home to Luton when he's the penalty taker. But like, who do I bench for him? So, I need to try to figure out a way to play Sarabia in this game, I think. Because Luton are absolutely out of gas.
Yeah, I think they've punched all their tickets now. So especially after that smashing by Brentford on the weekend, I think that might be it for them. Everton Brentford, Morpay Derby.
Yes.
Is Morpay gonna Morpay Everton?
Did you see the Morpay tweet today when he was talking about the Anthony thing?
Was that
Anthony
real? Thing? Was that actually real?
Oh, it was legit. Good.
That's my king troll. Right there.
He's the best online troll of all time, that bloke. Oh. I'm starting to like him almost as much as you do.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Because the reception he's going to get from Everton is going to be vile because they just despise him because he did nothing when he's there. It's the type of game where he comes off the bench, scores the 1-0 winner, and he's just cupping his ears to the good.
100%. He'll do that, and then he'll send out a tweet being like, "See, now you can cup your ears or something."
Or like something like always good to see old faces like Wayne Rooney did when he scored against Man City for Everton.
yeah, fantastic. But in terms of the result for that game, I guess like Everton in these games where it's almost like a relegation 6-pointer, I don't know if you can consider that for Brentford, but it's the kind of game at home where I think Sean Dyche is going to go back to old school Dyche ball and just park the bus and see if he can nick a 1-0 win.
Yeah, I think so.
So I actually think it's a decent game for Everton defensive assets because that is what they're going to try to do.
I wonder if we will see Ivan Toney back in the squad.
I don't know if we will.
Yeah,
there's something
I don't
going
know if
on
we
there.
Will. Yeah, I mean, Visa's doing the business and Bumo's looking good. Sade's back scoring goals, so they don't need him. Maybe they just want to keep him injury free so they can sell him.
I think they're doing really well without him. The last time he was on the field for them, the game finished and he was just screaming at like one of his teammates, and then he hasn't been seen since. Maybe like the Toney attitude that we've seen in various forms over the last couple of years is catching up with him, and And you know, their attitude is, we don't need him. We need to prepare for next season without him. And yeah, we need to keep him injury free because we're about to sell him. So why would we play him?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Tough one.
All right.
Villa Chelsea. Ooh. Ollie Watkins. He could do some
Yeah.
damage against the Chelsea side that just conceded five this morning.
There is a concern that it could be like another 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Probably like a 3-1. Like I can see Chelsea, like
Yeah.
Cole Palmer could score in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a well-organized Aston Villa. He seemed that they've really started like peaking again the last few game weeks. They sort of plateaued for a while there, where they just
They
weren't doing the
did.
business. A lot of draws. Now they've turned the corner. They're finishing really strongly. Only English team left in Europe as well, which is a big thing for them. So they're in the semi-finals of the Conference League, and you know, probably favorites for that competition too. So, yeah, just they're going for Champions League and they're in the box seat at the moment. I don't see Chelsea causing any issues at all in this fixture. So,
Probably not, unfortunately.
yeah, but I mean, the Watkins ownership numbers might keep dropping with all these wild carders at the moment, you know, scrapping him for you know, shiny
Yeah.
doublers.
And good for you if you're going to keep him and he's going to continue to be a differential for you.
Unfortunately, I'll be doing like I did this morning, seeing Ben White score, just tears rolling down my face.
We're partially of joy and partially of sorrow.
Bournemouth Brighton. Yeah, don't know what to make of this game. Good game, I suppose,
Another good game
Solanke.
for Solanke in my
Yeah,
mind.
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how Solanke goes in the second game of the double. He's another one of those games where
Yeah.
You know, he scored in the tougher of the two fixtures in the double, and it's a pretty good fixture against Wolves in the second one. So if he scores against Wolves, then I'd expect him to score against Brighton as well. So and he's another player that is not going to be on many
Yeah.
people's wild cards. Like most people on game week 35 wild card, he's not one of the ones that people are considering.
Yeah, that's right. He's paid his dues with all the doubles that Bournemouth have been facing recently. So yeah, but I agree. That's a really good Solanke fixture. So yeah, it could prove to be a bit more differential for managers than what they first expected. North London Derby. So this is Sunday night for us at 11 p.m. and oh, tasty. If Spurs want to win one more game for the entire season, it is going to be this game to stop us winning the league now.
They're
Chelsea
going to
couldn't do it
do
this morning.
absolutely everything.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, this is
But
gonna be crazy.
it's going to be a crazy atmosphere too, and the Spurs are going to be that motivated. But at the end of the day, Arsenal just could be too classy, and there's only so much you can do when you're coming up against that kind of juggernaut. They were pretty impressive, Arsenal, this morning.
They were indeed. I mean, I suppose the good thing is that this game is at White Hart Lane, which sort of makes the whole storyline about this fixture a little bit more exciting. Spurs also having a really decent break without them being involved in game week 34. So no excuses, they'll be fresh. No you doggy, unfortunately, but yeah.
Yeah, and Porro's also not a certainty either is Richarlison. So there could be they might not have as strong a team as they would have liked.
True, true, but it might be enough for Arsenal. Who knows? I don't
I guess we'll find out. That's
know. We
why.
will actually find out in due course. Forest hosting Man City. So now you're telling me some breaking news about.
Well, yeah, so just while we've been recording, the news has come through with quotes from Pep basically saying that Haaland is not going to be ready for the game tomorrow, meaning the Brighton game. So that really changes everything, given that there's such a short turnaround between that game and this one. Does that change your thinking on wild card about having Haaland, given that if he's not ready for this Brighton game, only a couple more days to the Forest game, do they probably don't need to risk him for the Forest game. So then it sort of starts to become a real concern. Especially when you think about his first injury and how we thought it was all quite a minor injury and how long it dragged on for.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like one of the lessons I've learned this year is that if someone's injured, then they're injured and you take them out until further notice because you really don't know how long it's going to be before they're back, unless the manager is quite definitive about when he's going to be back.
Yeah.
It can be a mistake to hold someone, especially when they're tying up that much money.
Now, because I'm on the wild card, now this is just me. I'm thinking I'm still going to hold Haaland. Now, I can bench him because I'll be wild carding, so I should have a strong squad, so I can actually just bench him for this game week. Who knows if he's available for the following game week? Because really, I really mainly want him for game week 37 for the Man City double. Now we should know by then whether he's playing or not.
Absolutely.
And, you know, worst case scenario, suddenly I've got, you know, 14 million to play with in the squad. Yeah. I can get rid of him. It's easier to get rid of him than it is to buy him. So
absolutely.
I'm not exactly scrapping for funds if I'm going without Salah as well. So it feels like an easier option just to hold him, assess. If I need to make a transfer, bang, I can, and I can spread the funds or whatever. So, yeah, I'll keep hold.
Yeah, okay. So my situation might be a little bit different for a couple of reasons. Like, firstly, I am looking for a way to free up funds to get Sun for this game week because because I'm bench boosting in 34, I got rid of Sun. So a way to free up, the way that I was going to free up funds is to actually downgrade Ben White to someone like Gusto. We don't know if Gusto is going to be fit, and getting rid of Ben White is a sacrifice that I didn't really want to have to make. So maybe this injury allows me to free up the funds that I need to get Sun. And the other part of it is, for me, I've got free hit to go to use in 37. So I can easily have Haaland for the double game week in 37, even if I get rid of him now. So that's true. I mean, I've only just learned this information. So this is like my initial reaction, though, is that it is a sensible move to remove him from my team. But I don't have to make that decision now.
Future Andrew problem.
but you know, like, the deadline's only a few days away, so it's not that far in the future, Andrew problem. I do have to make a decision by Saturday night.
True. And yeah, like you said, you've got your free hit in your back pocket. And yeah, if he's back by 37, easily.
Game week 36, home to Wolves, not having him would be a bit of a concern. So that is something I've got to consider. But there's nothing stopping me from freeing up funds by, you know, I'm sure by then I can think of something. So I guess I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. As I said, we don't really know what the extent of this injury is. We don't have that information, so it's hard to make long-term judgments on the right thing to do.
True. And then the game week finishes next Friday, Chelsea against Spurs, another derby, a crazy game, this one, always between Chelsea and Spurs and at Stamford Bridge. So a fixture which used to bring a lot of joy for Chelsea fans. Hopefully it's the same next week for me, but have to wait and see.
I can see that being a really wild game.
I
can see many goals in that game and almost zero chance of a clean sheet anywhere.
In the space of a week, Spurs playing Arsenal and Chelsea, two of their biggest games.
Yeah, huge.
Emotions
huge.
Will be running high.
It will, absolutely.
I was going to...
Hopefully Cole Palmer is back by then. Like, it's reportedly just an illness, but...
Hopefully. Yeah, and also, so I was going to build the Jackson narrative. He did get a hat-trick against Spurs earlier on in the season, back in November, so...
He did, but did you not call it the worst hat-trick you've ever seen?
As a Chelsea fan, I think I'll take anything this season, so...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what you said, but anyway...
It'll make the DVD.
All right.
Anyway, that's our double game week 35. Like I said, a little bit hard to preview when we've still got half the fixtures. to go for this game week. But now it's time for Goodwill Punting, where we look at a differential for the game week. Now, last week we had Ryan on the show. Ryan picked out Eze, who's banged amazingly so far. I think he's got 11 points. I went with Mateta, who's done even better. I think he was on 16 points from memory. So
I think he's got two goals and an assist. Two goals plus and the assist. Three bonus.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's about 16. So, yeah, good start so far for our picks, but it's all about game week 35. Who are you going to pick out?
Look, I think it's actually really difficult to pick out a punt for game week 35 for all the reasons we talked about. Like, it feels like it has to be one of the double game week teams.
Yeah.
I've gone for Conor Gallagher, which is, yeah, quite a punt. He's only 5.4 million. He's less than 1% owned. Like, in terms of the Chelsea side, he seems like that real solid and reliable one, like kind of like the Toyota Corolla of FPL. Just, you know, he's going to be just purring for 90 minutes. He'll never break down, and you can always rely on him. So I think as a punt, I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. I mean, he does pop up with a goal occasionally.
He does. More so recently than earlier in the season. So
true. It did take him a while to get going, that's for sure. I'm going with Brennan Johnson. Basically just cause. They got two fixtures in 35. They're not the best fixtures, but they're two fixtures. He's an attacking player. Why not?
Can't argue with that.
Mm. Plus you suggested to me, and it just made a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, totally. Like I think that he's the second best. I think he's the second best Spurs attacking asset based on the information we've got right now.
Yeah.
About the fitness. Like, if Ange came out and said Richarlison's ready to start two games, then great. But in the absence of that, I think he's the second best attacking option behind Son.
Yep. No, I agree there. Now, my captain, top three picks for double game week 35. Is it just a case of the doublers?
I think everyone's captain's going to be a doubler. If there wasn't a cloud over Palmer's fitness in terms of this illness that he's reportedly got, then I would say he'd be the best captain. But just because of that, I've got Son as the best captain, and then Palmer second. And then the third kind of differential option, Isak, home to Sheffield United. Just such a great fixture, and he's just in such great form.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Basically swapped Son and Palmer around, and I've also got Isak. So yeah, it feels like classic case of captain, vice captain, pick themselves this game week and choose your fighter. That's about it.
Yeah. And if we get some positive news on Palmer, then I'll be on board with you. I'll be captaining him too.
Hopefully we do get some news about Palmer. That would make things much easier to navigate. If not, it might be Min Son indeed. Now, while the game week is active, we don't have a proper cement ironclad double game week 34 league table at the moment, but Mahesh is still leading the mini league, so sitting on 2,181 points. Ashley Heuben, talk about a renaissance. Ashley, our good friend FPL Crisis, a little bit of a late season resurgence, climbing back up the table. Now he's up to second. So on the free hit, 92 points. So absolutely slaying it this week. And then TN is on the podium as well for the first time this season. He's sitting on 88 points this week. So
he's also been killing it recently. Like I think I was at one or two or three points behind him about 5 weeks ago, and he's just shot up, and I've just been puttering along.
But
he's been killing it recently. And that was, I don't think, is he on wild card this week? He's not even on free hit or anything. I don't think he's using a chip this week at all, but he's still killing it.
No, that's right. That's his side. He captained Eze. So showing you don't need to have a free hit to have a really good week. So yeah. Slaying it.
Legend.
And then also sitting equal third is Rahul. So yeah, good to see, you know, a lot of familiar names up there, but hopefully our names get a little bit closer. You're in the top 10 at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, look,
as it stands.
as it stands. But yeah, let's wait and see what happens at the end of the game week. I've lost another player in Haaland just in the last half an hour, so I'm down to a two-man bench boost, one of whom is on minus one. So let's not get too carried away.
Oh God. One for the scrapbook, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But before we finish up, your potential transfer plans, is it just a case of getting Sun back into your side? Will you need to take a hit this game week, do you think?
I think I probably will take a hit, because firstly, the priority is getting Sun back into the team. I wasn't planning on making any transfers at all coming into game week 34, but because there was flags on Haaland and Ait Nouri and Branthwaite, I felt I needed to make a transfer. I took out Ait Nouri because basically Gary O'Neill came out and said that he wasn't ready to start, and so I ended up bringing in Tyrick Mitchell, who gave me a zero pointer. But anyway, I've only got one free transfer now. I'm coming into 35, so I think I'll have to take a hit to bring Sun in. It'll be like one transfer to free up some cash and another one to get him in. So whether that is downgrading Ben White to Gusto, because that gives me yet another double game weaker, or the other option would be going Haaland to someone like Isak,
I was going to suggest that one.
and then use that money to bring in Sun, which is the one I'm leaning towards, because
There's
yeah,
upside there for both.
there is. Isak was someone that I was just considering ripping off the band-aid and taking an additional hit for anyway, just because I think he's that important to have. I keep on waiting for him to get injured, and he won't, and he's not. So I'll bring him in, and then that's probably gonna be what does it.
That one.
He'll probably get injured as soon as I do, but it's something I feel like I've got to do.
You'll be ripping off the band-aid, he'll be putting them on.
Yeah, 100%.
No, that move actually makes a lot of sense, because long term you'd be wanting Isak for the run in anyway.
Exactly right. Again, I do have a free hit for 37, so I could get Isak in for the double, regardless of whether I bring him in for now. But his fixtures just up to that point are so good. I think I just want him now anyway.
I like it. I like it. Well, before we finish up, Twitter and Instagram at FPL Signet for myself, for Andrew at FPL underscore Point Break. When he's not posting up photos of him drinking cocktails by hotel pools, he's telling us about his unfortunate bench boost this game week. But join in the laughter.
Yeah.
We got to cheer him up.
No, look, I because I've had a bit of luck with Ben White, I can laugh about it now. Yesterday was a different story. So, hopefully tomorrow something else good will happen, and I'll put it all behind me.
Oh, get the emo music. Don't get
Yeah,
too sad on
exactly.
me.
No, I'm trying to be positive.
Oh, anyway, thanks everyone out there for listening again, and all the likes and the retweets. So getting towards like the finishing line now of the season. So it's been an eventful one, but hopefully you'll stick with us for the ride for the last few game weeks. But good luck, Andrew. We're going to be watching all the games tomorrow morning. A whole, I think, what is there, four or five games on tomorrow morning?
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Most of them at 5 a.m., which is,
Yeah, they're all at
it's
5 a.m.
okay. Yeah.
The Wolves game starts at 4:45, so and the other ones
I'll
are at
just get up at
five.
five.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, no, good luck with your wild card, most
Thank
importantly.
you. I'm sure I'll be sending you screenshots over the next 48 hours of what do I do? Is this right? Am I stupid?
I don't know if I should be the one giving advice at the moment, the way I'm going, but I'm happy to help.
Let's see what happens. But most importantly, I better actually click that button, because I don't want to be one of those Twitter threads where you see someone talking about how they forgot to press the
Yeah, and I
button.
usually don't believe them, so you better do it.
Well, good luck to everyone out there with your decision making too ahead of double game week 35, whether you're on a wild card or maybe you might be free hitting, or just freewheeling it with regular transfers. Hopefully you'll make the right decisions and catch some green arrows. But Yeah, hopefully with a few more games tomorrow morning, a lot of goals and points flying around. So thanks again, Andrew. Great to have you back.
Thanks, mate. Great to be back.
And let your defensive sheets be clean and your arrows green. See you, managers.